This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5. The perfect drive home is with Lisa and Pete. And the perfect kitchen is with APG Homes. Get 25K to customise the kitchen of your new two-storey with their Kitchen Flair and Air promotion.
Jasper Jones is a coming-of-age story about Charlie Buckton, a bookish boy of 14. On the night that Jasper Jones, the town's mixed race outcast, shows him the dead body of young Laura Wishart, Charlie's life is changed forever. Entrusted with this secret and believing Jasper to be innocent, he embarks on a dangerous journey to find the true killer. Set over the scorching summer holidays of 1965, he then defeats the local racists, faces the breakup of his parents, and falls head over heels in love as he discovers what it means to be truly courageous. Is that about right? Would that be about spot on for the synopsis of
Jasper
Jones?
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Sounds familiar. I remember reading that on the back of the book when I first selected it.
Good, I'm glad. The author of Jasper Jones, Craig Silvey, joins us on Lisa and Pete. Good to have you in the studio, mate.
I am thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you here. You're a local. Fremantle?
That's correct, yeah.
I remember when I first read Jasper Jones, I did not know anything about Craig, and imagine my thrill when I realised he was a West Australian. Congratulations on the book. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Pete has just tempted anyone who's not across it to make sure they do get across it, and it is now a movie. I read an interview in our local paper on the weekend. I nearly died at a couple of the things you said. But the thing that really killed me was Jeffrey. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But first of all, you said that, you know, when someone approaches you about turning your book into a movie, you said this idea that the film industry sweeps in and gives your work legitimacy annoyed you a little. That would annoy me a lot because I actually think that great novels give cinema legitimacy in a way.
That is beautifully put.
There's not too many movies I've seen that come up to standard of the book. To Kill a Mockingbird is one.
Mm.
Yours is another. I think I just put it in pretty good company, don't you?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
So, I mean, how did they talk you into it in the end?
Well, look, I think I just pulled my head in and grew up a little bit. And the older I get, the more I just want to say yes to things.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, far be it for me not to go on this adventure. You know,
yep.
There were so many talented people who wanted to pool their resources and make this happen. And, you know, I didn't want to stand in the way of that. And I'm glad I didn't.
And you get a beautiful story to another audience of people that may not read books a lot but do go to the movies.
The lazy people are well accounted
for. I didn't want to. Yeah, yeah.
Mate, shot in beautiful Pemberton.
Oh, gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous, but sometimes very hard to find accommodation, right? And yourself and the director, Rachel, actually had to become roomies for 6-odd weeks or so. Is that the case?
Yes, we bunked up for the duration of the shoot, but it was great, actually. I mean, we both shared the same kind of obsession for the story, and so, you know, we'd get back to our premises at night and, you know, we'd still be bubbling with the events of the day and we'd talk it all over and whatnot. So it was good to have an ally there. So, it was great.
You have an ally there, but every now and again, was there the odd sort of creative difference between the two of you? Because, I mean, she'd have her ideas and you, from what Lisa had said before, you know, you're quite pure when it comes to wanting to keep the story as close to the book as possible.
Right. Oh, you know, we bickered constantly. We still do, to be honest with you. But we argue very well.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that friction just kind of varnished our story into something a little more resilient and a little more brilliant, to be honest with you. It was great that people had these competing opinions and were willing to go into bat for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the amazing thing about the collaborative process.
Well, if you have read the book, I mean, you might be surprised to hear that one of the things you had to win Rachel over on was the character of Jeffrey Liu. And the character of Jeffrey at all, let alone one of the most amazing scenes in the story where Jeffrey has, I won't say what it is, I don't want to give it away, but he has a good day. And it's almost this light that punctuates an otherwise pretty dark story. I couldn't imagine the story without Jeffrey Liu. I wondered if Rachel had read the same book. But Radiance is one of the best films I've ever seen. I know she's brilliant. Yeah.
Well, actually, to give Rachel her due, she was an advocate for Jeffrey. It was just this particular scene. Right? I think we can reveal it. It's a cricket scene.
It's a really good scene.
It's you know, Jeffrey has this, you know, his moment in the sun.
Yeah.
But Rachel Perkins is well, there's no other way to say it. She is no fan of cricket.
Okay.
So I had to, I fought for years to get this cricket scene back into our film.
Right.
To the extent where ultimately it was me and a first assistant director who ended up directing the scene in the film.
Yeah.
I was responsible for coaching Kevin Long, who plays Jeffrey Liu. So every spare hour we had, we were down at the nets and I was running him through his cover drives and his and his cut shots.
You know, I love Rachel even more now because she was able to say to you, "Well, I don't get cricket, so you guys take over this bit and do it." So it's all come good.
She's incredibly generous that way. Yeah.
How much of a say did you have in terms of who got to play characters in the adaptation? Because you've got some incredible talent in there: Hugo Weaving, Toni Collette, just to name a couple, as well as his name escapes me now, but the young bloke who plays the actual lead, who was Levi Miller, who was Peter Pan in most recently.
Yeah.
Just a sensational cast.
It's an amazing cast across the board. Yeah, we were very, very fortunate. To answer your question, I was certainly consulted from those key roles to our supplementary cast as well. You know, I went through all the audition tapes and whatnot with everybody else. So I was certainly a part of it, yeah. But in the case of some of those big cast members, I think it was just fortunate that they had read the book. Toni actually wanted to option the book back in the day.
Yeah.
So she came on board.
She would have been on a wish list for sure.
Yeah. So we're very lucky in that regard. Hugo is just an out-and-out gentleman. You know, he had so much affection for that role and he just nailed it. He's just amazing.
Perfect. And Charlie's just as I imagined him when I read the book.
Oh, it's pleasing to hear.
I think that's one of the things I struggle with when I see a movie of a book, because I have such a set, you know, picture in my head and I have to let that go. I can only imagine that's 100-fold for you.
Yeah, I mean, I went into this project prepared for that and kind of excited by different interpretations.
Yep.
You know, there were some things that felt essential to me and proprietary to the book, and I wanted to preserve those.
Mm.
But ultimately, every actor who brought these characters to life brought new gestures and new ideas to them, and it was just really remarkable to see them sort of bubble into being.
Yeah.
How did you go filming in Pemberton? Because when it's dry and hot, it's incredibly dry and hot. And when it's wet, it's incredibly wet.
Yes.
What's it like actually, you know, turning your book into a movie? Are there challenges that you face day to day?
Oh, with film, there are challenges constantly, you know, and things you can't readily anticipate. You just got to kind of roll with it. But in terms of Pemberton as a community, I can't speak highly enough of the people down there. We were made to feel so welcome.
Mm.
The people were so accommodating, and you know, we needed extras, and people just came down in droves to, you know, put 1960s wigs on and you know, wear the costumes.
Fantastic.
And whatnot, and gave us their time. It was amazing. Yeah, felt like a really big family down there.
Well, that's one of the things that you first noticed about the book, is that that mood in the haunting kind of vibe about the scenery, and that definitely comes through straight away in the movie as well. So that is fantastic. And what is it about Australian town? We love nostalgia. Charlie's Sleep Out just takes me straight back to my grandparents' house in my head.
Yeah, mine too.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were lucky to find that place. I mean, all our settings were in Pemberton, so we were able to find all our locations basically within that postcode, which is really remarkably lucky.
Yeah.
Now, now that you've just one more thing, just quickly. Now that you know you sort of been shaking hands and whatnot with stars like Hugo Weaving and Toni Collette. So, have you got them on speed dial on your mobile phone? Can you just, is it the sort of thing now where you can just get in touch with them every now and again and, hey, you in town, can we catch up for a beer or something like that?
Oh, you know, we're old mates now, of course.
Yeah?
Of course, yeah. We've been really lucky. Hugo's given us his time and he's been touring the film with us, so he just left us in Melbourne. He's just an out-and-out gentleman. He's just an absolute sweetheart, very thoughtful guy.
Not a bad actor.
Yeah,
not a bad actor.
But it's been quite a while.
But you know what? I mean, they would feel exceptionally lucky to be starring in such a great story itself, because it is. It's a brilliant
story,
mate.
It's a wonderful story. It's translated into a beautiful movie, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Jasper Jones, the film is officially out March the 2nd. Go and check it out. Craig Silvey is the author of the book, which is an incredible read. Thank you so much for joining us on Lisa and Pete.
Thanks, guys.
Before we get into this, we have to play the opening theme of when we talk about video gaming stuff. So if you'll humour me just a moment.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Game on! Game on! It's game time. Excellent. Game on. Game on. It's game time. Excellent.
Solo.
Excellent. That is you on the high note and Dan the internet on the low.
That is correct. Game on. And then Dan would go game on. That's the opener for our Game On Australia podcast, where we talk about video games.
Sweet. Okay.
You can download it on iTunes and you can find us on Facebook.
It's now, worth it just for the that intro.
Certainly is. This is a sign of the times.
Wraps up like a rock star.
Right. Those of you out there may have heard about FIFA 17. There's been 17 incarnations of this game. It's a game by a company called EA Sports. When your kids or grown adults in your household are yelling and screaming at the television, more often than not, they're playing this video game. It's a soccer game.
All right, so now, forgive me, I come from a land of Pong, but this is like the original, one of the original soccer games, isn't it? Is it a soccer game?
It's a soccer game, right? It's been around for 17 years.
It's like the soccer version of the one that goes, gentlemen, start your engines, which I take offence to every time because I like a bit of Daytona.
Oh this chat's going to be
fun. Is it right?
Fun.
Am I right?
You're getting close, I guess. You're getting there.
What is this, a game of warmer or colder?
The exciting thing about this, right, is that it's just been announced today that for the first time in history, matches of people playing EA's video game FIFA 17 are going to be broadcast live on television. That's right, live on television.
I don't understand. Do you mean that like people will be able to plug in their console and play on their own television against other people?
No. People, you know what? Think of this as the video game Gogglebox, all right? So people at home.
You mean watching people play video games. You are kidding.
No, I'm dead set serious, right? No, seriously.
Who would watch this?
No. Oh, about 5 or 6 million people right around the world.
Tune in.
They tune in. I am one of these people, right?
What?
And yes, I have a wife and a child.
What?
So about every time there's a grand final, about 6 million people around the world tune in for something like this.
Where is this going on?
I watch people play video games. I watch them play video games. That's what I like
but
to
why?
Do that every
day. Because why?
Because I'm
what
interested.
What are you getting out of it?
It's very exciting. Like it's like watching people play FIFA 17 is like watching a proper soccer match, except it's video games. Wow, it's really hard to explain this to someone who's not quite into video games and doesn't quite understand. No, the thing is this is okay. So for those of you listening that are like, wow, this is really exciting, Pete. I love this. It's happening in the UK. All right, but it will eventually, Lise, it will eventually, I don't do this when you talk about musical theatre, right?
I'm
it will
sorry.
Eventually get to us. I'm excited because I'm part
musical
of a
theatre's good.
I'm part of I'm part of a FIFA tournament later on this year.
Are
you? Yeah, the Gordon Bombay Trophy.
The Gordon, what's that? That's two types of gin.
Excuse me?
Gordon Bombay.
Gordon Bombay, I'll have you know, is the coach of the Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks?
You don't know the Mighty Ducks.
It's a TV show.
No, it's a movie, and it's not just a movie. It's a trilogy, and it's timeless. Thank you very much.
It's a trilogy.
Yes, exactly. Quack. 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 Quack.
Dobby, you're so funny.
Hate my life sometimes. Really do. Sure, Paul Lace.
All right. The hit TV miniseries House of Hancock will not be broadcast or streamed again after Channel 9 made a grovelling apology for its portrayal of mining magnate Gina Rinehart and her family. Probably a little late, but anyway. A billionaire Mrs. Rinehart sued Channel 9 and production company Cordell Jigsaw over the two-part series, which was broadcast in February 2 years ago now. Gosh, it was ages ago.
Far out.
Injurious falsehood and misleading and deceptive conduct. Mrs. Rinehart was seeking damages and a permanent injunction to prevent the program and about 4 minutes of cuts from being broadcast again. She also wanted an injunction preventing the DVD copy of the program being advertised as a true story. And these are the main problems that she had with that.
Okay.
She had a problem with the details such as her weight, whether her father, Lang Hancock, cheated at tennis, and the colour of her mother's hair.
The colour of her mother's hair.
Isn't that interesting? When you consider the whole big overall story of the House of Hancock.
Yeah.
Whether dad cheated at tennis and the colour of mum's hair was what she took the most offence with. Anyway, it's her story. First it was Samuel L. Jackson, now Tony Who's the Boss Danza, saying he doesn't understand the hype about Oscar-nominated film La La Land.
How are you going to be a revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist? You're holding on to the past, but jazz is about the future.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm not. It's like a pipe dream.
This is the dream. It's conflict and it's compromise. It's very, very exciting.
That music makes me want to see it. I just love it. It builds. But Tony Danza says, I watched it twice because I thought I missed something. It's hard growing up with Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor and Fred Astaire. It's pretty hard to watch. He added, I think Ryan Gosling's fine. He's just not a tap dancer.
Who else keeps comparing it to Gene Kelly and
Samuel L. Jackson?
That's right, yeah.
Remember he said the other day, yeah, I just don't get it. He said, oh, I want to see that boy smile.
And then he moved to Canada.
And then hey, it's interesting, isn't it? None of them have moved to Canada.
No, they haven't, have they?
That is so interesting.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Get more Lisa and Pete for the drive home and get more than 40 grand added value in your new two-story with APG Homes Kitchen Flair and Air promotion for a limited time.